I put away the things of a child, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sloth is a capital vice, and it affects many more people than they realize. And in order for us to determine whether we actually have sloth, it would be good for us to review the characteristics of sloth, sometimes called laziness. St. Thomas says that sloth is a sorrow at spiritual things. And with sloth, there is a certain coldness, that is, a person doesn't burn for zeal for God, or even for the good. Sloth depresses the soul. That is, those who suffer from sloth find things difficult to do, and so as a result, there's a certain tedium that comes along with having sloth. Those who are slothful very often are always tired, they have a hard time doing anything, whereas those who have the virtue of diligence, which is the opposite of sloth, very often have all sorts of energy. Sloth is a sluggishness or a laziness of the soul, neglecting the process by which one does the good. That is, one doesn't start the process of doing what's good, what one knows that is good. Sloth is principally in the irascible appetite, and so it indicates a lack of fortitude because one is unwilling to engage the arduous, that is, that which is difficult. Yet sloth is a sorrow at doing the good because of the ardor involved. Our appetites don't like it when we suffer from sloth. Sorrow is the passion which arises due to the presence of an evil. And sloth sees spiritual things as evil because they are difficult. Now, this sorrow is not intellectual necessarily, but it is in the passions. And you know you have sloth when you intellectually see that you should do a good thing, but the passions turn you from it. In other words, you find yourself saying to yourself interiorly, I'd rather just sit here and watch TV than pray, or something of this sort. Sloth has a concomitant weakness in the will, that is, the person suffers from a certain weakness and finds doing the good difficult. The trajectory of sloth is mediocrity. If you find that your spiritual life is mediocre, then more than likely you suffer from spiritual sloth. Sloth is a certain complacence, that is, you're pleased with or a satisfaction with the pleasures of the body. For example, in sleeping or in just in laying around, because we do get a certain pleasure out of just laying there. There is a lack of joy in spiritual things with sloth. St. Thomas says that sloth is a mortal sin if reason consents to the horror or detestation or flight from spiritual goods. Otherwise, it is only venially sinful. And one of the effects of sloth is that we suffer from a certain inquietude of the body. And St. Thomas says this is due to the fact that we sit in one place for long periods of time. That is, we just don't move. The manifestations of sloth can be seen in those who prefer to sleep in without a sufficient reason, or they don't go to bed at a reasonable hour. We also see people who suffer from sloth because they lack diligence at work, whether they work outside the home or in. We see the manifestation of sloth in mediocrity and complacency and the lack of excellence in our lives and in what we do. That is, we also see it in people who watch too much television, who just sit around watching it, which is often connected to the sin of idleness. Then St. Thomas says there are daughters of sloth. And these are vices that arise. That is, since it's a capital vice, if you have sloth, the vice of sloth or laziness, then from this arises certain other vices. The first is the sin of negligence, in the sense that one neglects his duties according to his state in life. That is, there's a lack of diligence. So in the case of the housewife who stays home taking care of the children, she neglects keeping the house clean or things of this sort, or the man who works, that he tends to spend too much time surfing the internet at work rather than working. Then the next is the sin of idleness. And we see that this sin of idleness is really taking hold in our society. As I mentioned, people watch just entirely too much television. Aside from the fact that there is just raw filth on the television today, the fact of the matter is people will sit for hours every night just sitting there clicking, watching TV and clicking through the channels. It's idleness. It's a waste of your time. Now, that doesn't mean that watching wholesome programs on television it's a good thing. It can be a good thing, and it can even be part of the virtue of eutropalia, which is the virtue of right recreation. However, most people find that when they put TV entirely aside, that they find that their faculties are less depressed, and they actually have a certain vigor as a result of it. What this means is that you have to moderate how much television you watch. You also see idleness overtaking people who retire. They finish working, and then they just sit in front of the TV, or they sit and do nothing all day long. Retirement is not meant for idleness. Rather, retirement, that is, the life of leisure, is meant to free you up to advance spiritually and intellectually. And so when you retire, you should take that as the opportunity to get to Mass more often, to engage in holy hours more often, to do those things that you wouldn't normally be able to do because you're working. The next daughter of sloth is despair. Because when a person recognizes that the spiritual goods are too difficult and you'd rather just be in your complacency, you realize that your salvation consists in pursuing those arduous spiritual goods, and so because you're not pursuing them, you start despairing that you're simply not going to reach heaven. The next vice is pusillanimity, and this is smallness of soul. It's when a person doesn't strive for great things. And its opposite virtue is magnanimity, in which one strives to attain the greatness of soul that God had intended according to one's state in life. We also see that there's a certain sluggishness in fulfilling the precepts of the law, which is connected to negligence. The next daughter of sloth is rancor, or spite. And this consists in fighting others who do actually pursue these goods. In other words, those who suffer from sloth have a certain hatred arising from the indignation of others. That is, they become indignant to others because they see others pursuing what is good, and because they're not, then they look for defects in those other people in order to find something wrong with them to make themselves feel better in their complacency. This, therefore, is connected to the next vice, which is malice. That is, the person who's slothful becomes malicious because he doesn't want people interrupting his laziness, his lounging around. And when people tell him, you know, maybe you ought to do something, they get angry and irritable. The next vice is, or it's actually a conglomeration of vices, is lust and gluttony. That is, St. Thomas says that when one gives in to the pleasures of just laying around, which comes through the vice of sloth, the connected things to that are other bodily pleasures, such as those which come from lust and gluttony. And so those who suffer from sloth, especially spiritual sloth, will often find that they struggle with things like impurity, gluttony, and things of this sort. The next vice is loquaciousness. Now, it is a fact that we get a certain pleasure out of talking, and those who just lay around tend to suffer from a bit of loquaciousness. You see this from time to time with a guy who, at work, he might work someplace and you see, he's just more interested in sitting around talking with people than he is actually doing his work. And then the last one is instability or inconstancy. That is, a person might know what is good, but he doesn't do it. So how do we overcome sloth? The first is by working on charity. Through a strong charity, one burns with a great zeal for God and for spiritual goods. And so because one loves these things, one will pursue them. That is, if one has perfect charity. Then there is the contemplation of spiritual goods. That is, if one looks at spiritual goods and considers how good they are, how they perfect the soul, and how one who has them becomes perfect and becomes holy, then in that, the one will pursue that and overcome his sloth. And this is done through prayer, that is, contemplating the divine truths and those things which God gives us, that is, insofar as they are gifts from Him, but also through spiritual reading, that is, read the great spiritual greats, the saints, who tell us about the spiritual goods and the magnificence in having them. The next is self-denial. And this comes principally through when you're laying there and you'd rather just sit there, you get up. It becomes an act of the will, principally. And this also means it's connected to mortification. If you engage in different kinds of mortification throughout the day, for instance, fasting or self-denial, when people do things against you, you offer them up, things like this, then in that way, you will begin the process of self-denial and overcoming the sloth. Because why? If you embrace mortification, you begin to overcome the fear and the horror that comes from engaging in spiritual goods because of the defects of original sin, which is part and parcel of sloth. You must also cultivate the virtue of hope and make acts of hope, because hope is a motivation. It's something, it's a supernatural virtue which God puts in our will, which motivates us to pursue Him as an end. Charity and faith are not enough. You might know that God is your final end and that your ultimate beatitude consists in seeing God face to face through faith. And you might even love God, but you're not going to pursue Him unless you actually have the hope that you can truly attain Him. And so you should make acts of hope which will motivate you to overcome your spiritual sloth. These things are important because, in my own estimation, a vast majority of Catholics, even traditional Catholics, suffers from sloth because of one fact. They simply do not want to overcome their complacency to pursue perfection. And that is why they must strive to overcome this capital vice. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.